What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. I am your host, Doggy Diamonds. To my right, I have...
Koku, also known as Koku Puff.
Eternal underscore Moja.
Yeah, and this is Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. I just got to say, I always advertise other people's shit, but today I have on my clothes, my Keep It 1000 shirt, along with the hat. So if you like what you see, you can go get this at shop.doggydiamondstv.com. Shop.doggydiamondstv.com. I have all types of merchandise on there. Even at the end of these videos, you see the merch thing. So cop some of that stuff. Yeah, so what's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man? You know?
Yeah, where the hell you been?
I've been MIA. Yeah. I've been on a meditation retreat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what they always say.
At happy hour, let's be honest.
Yeah. Getting boozed up. Yeah, so, all right. So I wanted to talk about different things today. First thing that I wanted to talk about is, what are we doing with Kanye West?
I have no interest. I don't even understand why people are accepting it. I don't listen to it. I don't like those vibes. I don't like the energy. I'm not doing anything.
You from Chicago too?
Yeah, I'm originally from Chicago. I sure am, and I don't understand why people just are embracing him in this moment when he said so much crazy stuff. And it's like somebody just throws on a gospel record, and all of a sudden now you're hallelujah with the person, and you just forgive everything.
It's a little bit of macaroni and cheese, and them fat arms, and macaroni and cheese, and potato salad, and fish fries, and
I'm like,
some gospel, and they back.
Does no one know or remember that there was an incident, was it Jonestown Massacre, where like people are following a cult leader? That's essentially what I view this as.
So, okay. What you think?
I mean, first I want to ask, did you guys hear the album?
I skimmed through it.
Yeah, it skims.
I heard the whole thing. Okay. I'll leave a lot of what I truly want to say off camera, but...
What's the point of that?
Okay. I'll just say that the music was good in the aspect of the production.
Okay.
Like the sound was, it was, to me, it was valid. The lyrics, that ain't it. Like that ain't.
this is my thing with Kanye. I know for a fact that I know when artists are trolling. I know when they're trolling, they're clout chasing, they're trying to get attention. And it works for him so well because everything he says is a viral moment. That's why he just picked points where he doesn't say anything. Then he just goes on these tangents, whether it's, remember it was Twitter. This is just different things. And it becomes such a moment and he captures moments. So I give him credit for that. But the type of time he on, I'm just not on that. I'm not on that time. You know, I'm just not on that time. I don't knock anybody's religion. If you want to pray to Elmer's glue and you think Elmer's glue woke you up in the morning, that's on you. Who am I to say Elmer's glue didn't wake you up? If you strongly, wholeheartedly believe that this white cup woke you up in the morning and got you money, who am I to say there's no way? You know, so I don't do that. But I think certain systems of beliefs has set us back as black people for a long time. And in 2019, for somebody to take a system of belief that I believe set us back and try to give it to us again, then you got all these damn slave movies coming out. And all of them narratives play in the same thing. See, first, slavery was a choice. Then you're taking religion is a form of mental slavery depending on how it's used. So now he's going on this like sabbatical and trying to say, you know, back to, you almost trying to say, yo, we gonna be slaves again. Well, via music.
Well, religion in its etymology means to bind. So I mean, that's literally exactly what you said. So that's definitely taking place. But I would definitely say is I didn't want to go there, but
we going there.
As far as with Ye, like, I remember I had a conversation with Dapper Dan, and damn, I don't really want to release it.
Yeah,
but Dapper said that Kanye need to come home. And this was years ago. We was in Harlem, and I agreed with that. But like, Ye need to come home. Like, I remember the Ye talking about, you know, must be a pharaoh. He's in tune with his soul. Like, you know what I mean? Or when he get on, he leave you for a white girl. Like,
Ye
was on a different type of time. And I feel like the past couple of years, like exactly what you said, like I feel like he's been on some reverse engineering type. Mm-hmm. Like he's on some reversing.
But my thing is, this, yo, I'm not going with you. All right? I'm not going with you. Like we too woke. We too, and I hate to use that cliche word, but for some of us, we live in proof of what I'm saying. We got too much knowledge itself to go down certain paths again. You can't take us there with no damn trap gospel and that, like, it ain't gonna work.
Hey, trap gospel's fine.
Yeah, that's couple thing. You know what I'm saying? But it's not gonna work. You can't, and I'm gonna keep it real with y'all too, for the audience. It's gospel songs that I love for the point of inspiration.
Yes.
But, yo, ain't nobody in the sky coming to get me. That's just how I personally feel. And I believe that certain things was a tool used against us that I feel like it is some reverse engineering. Let's use it again. So it's like, once I say, this is my God, this is what I believe in, it automatically, it's certain topics that you never argue with people.
Yeah.
Politics, mm-hmm. sports, religion, and sexuality. Mm-hmm. You just don't, we're just never going to agree. You know, so just for him to be like, you know, Jesus is king and all that, and the album is blue. I'm the type of person that, I know I ain't rocking with it. So I ain't going to rock with it to say I don't rock with it. I just ain't rocking with it. Because musically, he does nothing for me anymore. Yeah. Go ahead, Coco.
I guess the point that I've been sort of, like, I guess working through is, I feel like even if you believed what he was saying, I strongly believe in the messenger. Mm-hmm. Not only just the message. So I feel like Kanye is not in a place, in a healthy place, where even if I found the music inspirational, I don't want to hear that message from him.
Got you.
That's where I'm at with it.
Got you. Yeah. So like, no matter what he say, yo, it was a snippet of him talking to Kim Kardashian about dressing sexy.
Yes.
And he got up and walked out and all that. And I'm like, you know, if I find a female, it's almost like, you know, you meet a female in the club and she got on the booty shorts and all that, and then you just tell her, yo, I don't like you dressing like that. And she like, well, when I met you, I was dressing like that. Now, it is two different ways you can look at it. As a person, you're supposed to, you know, raise up your profile, and you don't always have to be what you were. Mm-hmm. That's called growth as a human being. But, yo, the Kim Kardashian's body is worth more than anything, because we don't know what she's like intellectually.
No,
like
that's her whole brand has been built on this body. So you're telling this person that you no longer want them to be what they've monetized.
Facts. and look, and not only that, what got your monkey ass in the loop?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you wasn't going to get that from Amber Rose. Mm-hmm. Like, you got what you got, but it was more of you bringing something to her and then boosting her shit. Now it's like you dealing with Kim Kardashian, who already had her lane, and you getting with her kind of benefited you. You know, and it was a marriage that was a paparazzi's dream. You know what I'm saying? So when it come to Kanye, we can't forget that he made Jesus walk.
Right.
But then I seen him say songs like Praise to the Most High, Allah. He said, it's just such a confusion. Then he said Pharaohs, then he had the big... He did a lot of, you know, comedic stuff, Egyptian for you know, yeah, for your Americanized people. But, you know, I think he just plays with symbolisms, and he does things to really, really get us talking. That's what we're doing today.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Kanye, he reminds me of a lot of people. He's probably someone that doesn't, I think he's even admitted that he doesn't read. So he's probably someone that like listens in on conversations where actual intellectuals are speaking, whether or not those intellectuals are talking about what they believe in, or if they're just simply speaking about culture and different things. So when he hears them, he like parrots the information incorrectly or doesn't really understand what he's saying. I just don't think he's intellectually...
He's a good regurgitator.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's intellectually capable or if he understands what he's saying. Like, because sometimes, you know, it derails a little bit too, so...
What, you want to close out on the Kanye thing?
She just said something that I was going to segue into real quick as far as what he said. How do you guys feel about him saying that we don't have a culture?
That's just outrageous.
Okay. You know what? I get what he's saying.
I'll give my opinion.
I get what he's saying because black people embrace like hip-hop is our culture. Mm-hmm. And hip-hop is a part of black culture, but it's not black culture. Culture is what you do in your household. Culture is how you were raised. Some people were raised that when they walk in their home, remove your hat. That's their culture. See, culture, we keep trying to make this some broad, you know, paint it with a broad brush. That's not what culture is. Culture is whatever your family raised you as or in a community. We don't have communities any longer. So whatever your culture is what your culture is. Culture might be every year your family get together for Thanksgiving. Every year your family throw a Halloween party. The baby's first party or you know, every Sunday y'all sit down and watch movies or y'all sit at the dinner table. That's what culture is. I think we keep saying culture and just saying we all have the same thing. No, we do have culture, but we have different cultures within our house, you know, our homes, you know what I'm saying? And I think, again, my family, like one of the things in my family, right, we refer to relatives as each other's relatives, but not my relative. So I'll call my brother and say, yo, your sister is tripping. But it's my sister too. But that's just something that we do. That is something cultural in my family that we do. So culture is the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, what you eat, how you eat, and your being. And I just think, yeah, black people, how could we have a culture when our culture derives from them taking our culture from us? So we created our own cultures now. You know, the way some dudes wear they, you know, wear they hat is the culture. The way some dudes talk is the culture. Chicago has a culture of slang. New York has a culture of slang. That's what culture is. So we keep thinking culture is, you know, we all get together as a community and we all wear this. That's not what culture is no more, because if that's the case, white people don't have culture either, because Italians don't do what the Irish do. You know, the Pakistanis don't do what the people in Yemen do. It's just not the same. Everybody has their own culture. But the fact that black people don't have a country, America is our country now. Because when we say we're African American, how much of Africa is really left in us anymore? You know what I'm saying? Because we keep looking at Africa like it's New York or something. It's a continent it's comprised of countries.
Right.
And it's different.
Completely different.
Yeah,
exactly.
So how do you just say, yo, African American, and you go back to Africa with the mentality, but it's so many different countries in Africa. What country are you going back to?
Over 50 countries.
That's what I'm saying. What country are you identifying with? And most of us identify with what? Egypt. So we say Egypt because, you know, everybody got the eye row on them and because of the symbolism, but it's 50 countries.
Yeah.
And it's countries that predate Kemet.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So you wanted to close on something?
No, she can go.
I wanted to say that. I think that when people speak negatively about the idea of black culture, we have to understand that, you know, black people, we're not a monolith. We're not all going to even... Somebody could be talking to me, honestly, that's native to Atlanta. I might not even know what the hell they're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just different. You know, you go to, like, Geechee areas, and this is, like, it's almost like you're hearing another language. So, you know, when we talk about culture, it's not all the same. We have to understand that these traditions, if you're in the Mississippi Delta, will be completely different than if you're in New York and so forth. So it's like people need to embrace that those differences that we have, and those are cultural things that are significant in the generations as well.
And that's culture.
Yeah,
because
that's culture.
You got some places where dudes eat crawfish and suck the head, and I'm like, I ain't sucking no head of whatsoever. I don't care if it's a crawfish, a eel. I just ain't doing it. Just the word, the terminology, I ain't doing that. You know
jam.
What I'm saying? But that's their culture to do that.
Yeah.
So to say we don't have culture, yeah, we don't have a universal culture.
Right.
That became hip-hop was our universal culture. But now we having different types of hip-hop.
Yeah.
So hip-hop culture that we once knew, the DJ, the breakdancer, the b-boy, the MC,
the graffiti,
the clothes, that's not even the same no more.
No.
So we can't say that, yo, this is our culture. You know what I'm saying? And truthfully, we the inventors of everything.
To fuck.
You know what I'm saying? So with Kanye, I'm like I said, I'm pretty much off that. I ain't really been rocking with him musically for a while anyway.
Nah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't listen to what he say because only people only sound smart to stupid people. But when you're intelligent and you know somebody's saying something dumb, you'd be like, come on, man.
I have him completely. I have the keywords, anything with Kanye and any variation of his name, I have him completely blocked and muted on social media. Like, I'm not even kidding. I have taken the time to remove Kanye from my life. And when I see a conversation, I just go the other way.
Word. Like, yeah, because Kanye.
Nope, no, that's good.
Doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. I haven't even liked his production in years. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing about what he does. You know, he's looking like, walking around looking like Sherman Klump. Like, nothing that he does. Just, you know, I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We only talk about him today because it is a hot topic and he makes a lot of general statements. Like, he can speak for us.
That's what I have a
and
problem
I
with.
Don't like mm-hmm. that. You know what I'm saying? You can't, no black man in America can speak for, I can't even speak for us.
Right.
I can speak for my demographic or my circle, but I can't say what dude in Jersey is doing or what dude in Philly is doing or how they feel. I just don't know.
Why not? Because 50 years ago, I mean, it was happening. 60 years ago,
but what so, I'm saying, back in those times,
why can't we do it now?
See, back in those times, it was a universal oppression. You know,
it's
where,
still universal.
Yeah, but it's they hit it better.
Yeah, but it's still like, you know, redlining still exists, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that, you know, people who look like us when we go to the bank, like we gotta dress a certain way and have mm-hmm. a certain type of energy. I mean, that still
that's
exists.
Different. That's different. But I think
it's oppression. I mean, either way, I feel like. If you look like what we look like,
uh-huh.
I feel like you have an obligation to talk for people who look like you. I'm not saying like you're like one leader. I'm saying that, you know, everybody has to take their role.
But you know what? I think since anyone ever heard my voice, I've always spoke for us. Mm-hmm. I've always tried to break down barriers and I get who dislikes me the most.
Yeah, people who look like
the people you fight for. Yeah. I mean, yo, listen, man, once, not getting on no Kanye, mm-hmm. but just think, you know, theoretically, yo, they killed Jesus, man. And who did he, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't even no foul dude. It wasn't like he, you know, was rolling dice and was locking the dice or ass betting or nothing like that. And they killed him. So it's like, once I started realizing, like, yo, hold on. My fight is for my family.
Of course, that's first.
Yeah. But I think we think, oh, we got a voice. No, we got to speak up. And then you be speaking up and the person in the crowd is like, shut up, throw a rock at you.
Well, that's the ignorance.
Yeah, but it is unfortunate, I mean, because when you do have a voice, you would hope the people that can be loudest and that can be heard are responsible enough to want to speak for the community. So I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just the problem is there are people that are speaking that don't need to be talking.
Yeah, okay. but look, the people pick and choose who should have the voice.
Right.
Yeah.
And you listen to fools.
Yeah.
And that's a good segue into what I want to go into. For example, like, you know, when we got these platforms, everybody named mama got a platform now. If a dude got a blue check and 50,000 followers on Instagram, essentially has a platform because he's been verified by an app and people are following him. Yo, it's a chick with her titty out who got a platform right now. All the bottle models, all of them have bigger platforms than all of us. I see some of these chicks with 800,000 followers, and they have never contributed anything visibly to society at all but show their titties and their ass, and everybody follows that. But then you might have somebody who has put it all on the line, and people be like, man, I don't want to hear what that nigga got to say.
Nah, that's true.
Or then you got some dudes who are them one-minute philosophers or them one-minute activists, you know what I'm saying? And then they got a bunch of following. So what I'm saying is that people like myself who came in the game to break down barriers and show people, they will say, I will listen to this person before I listen to him because I don't have the blue check. And I don't have these numbers because everything got pushed into, oh, my numbers is big. And look at the numbers I got. Look at the views I got. But a lot of that be fluff, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
People are purchasing
followers. So now what's happening when you're organic and you get it from the mud, people tend to look at you like shade, like people must not really fuck with you because you don't got this or you don't got that. So this is the society that we in, that some people that could talk and should talk, like myself, I'd be like, I ain't saying shit no more because I'm fighting a fight and the people I'm fighting for, y'all keep giving it to them. And look at how all of them is extracting my. I be hearing dudes saying my words on they shows, they morning radio shows, they part like words that I say that's code words because I can't, you know, certain words we can't say, you know, due to offending certain, like we can't even, like midget is foul. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't even say midget no more. Yeah. Being politically correct. So me having no filter, trying to be mindful of, you know, certain things, I make up words for things. And then I hear people saying it, but then they'll get all the credit for it. And I'm not a credit demon, but damn, like the inventors always get robbed and people with bigger platforms is look like they're, you know, like they're intelligent when they're just sitting there extracting from people. And that segues into these celebrity podcasts, which I don't like. I don't like them. I don't think if you have a voice and you a rapper and you captivating the people through rap, fine. You get a platform. You get people. What I'm not liking is stop using your celebrity to clog lanes, right? Mm. Don't use your celebrity to clog lanes. Like when I seen Fat Joe with a podcast, what he had like 10 episodes and then he don't have it no more?
Yeah. I've heard people say this about rappers and singers turn actors as well. I've heard that same like conversation. Like,
but some of them might go to acting school. Some of them might really, really take it serious.
That's okay.
And some of them, I get somebody that went through Juilliard and they really did their thing and you got the role because you bust the rhymes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's foul if you really... Now, if you're Busta Rhymes in the movie, that's one thing. But if you're sitting there trying to be, you know, Mozart and all that, nah, give that to somebody who...
I don't agree with that.
No, I'm telling you why they do it. Because they look at numbers. They say, well, he got a following. He's going to have a following. But then when you listen to this person, they're not going to dedicate themselves to what's going on. And I think the success of... Nori and Joe Buttons set a windfall of, if they do it, I could do it too.
Yeah.
But they each had their niche of what they did or how they was doing it. Now everybody is just like a carbon copy of what they're doing and it's not good.
Well, you know what I think the main problem is? Social media is one big high school to me.
Yeah.
It's like the cool people who show off their jewelry, their money, their chicks, their lifestyle. Those are the ones that people just want to see.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people are not really changing lives and making much of an impact. They just, people are just there just to hear them talk shit. And we live in a time now where it's, I mean, what it's always kind of been where sheep is always going to win, right? Like, there's so much sheep, like, mentality that's going on that people just run to all these platforms or these people, but they're not really saying nothing
that's the point
means
I'm making.
Anything.
How do you got this following? And you get all these big companies behind you,
yeah.
And you ain't saying nothing.
Well, because that's what makes money. Ignorance is what sells at the end of the day. So
that's foul.
It's what makes money.
Because look at it like this. All right. You got a platform. You got a voice, right? Look how I've used my platform and my voice to help in so many instances. So many of these bum-ass dudes... Nobody cared about their story. Nobody cared about their life. Me, I was like, yo, nah, that's kind of crazy. Let's put it out to the world. I used to get flack for interviewing people that people are interviewing now and saying, oh, did you see that such and such interview? I'm like, yo, I did that 10 years ago.
Do y'all remember that Jay-Z line when he said, I used to rhyme like Common?
Yeah.
And I made $5 million, I ain't been rhyming like Common. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
That's what it is. Like, the ignorance or that form of, like, even 2 Chainz, like, he's an intelligent dude, but, like, he's even said, like, he's dumbed down his quality of music just so people can, I mean, listen, so... That's just what it is. We live in a time where.
But how do you have money already, or so you say, and you still doing clout stuff for money though?
It's never like, enough.
Is that, money that's never gonna.
Like that's enough. Like nah, yeah, but so because my thing is this, right? Am I kicking your foot?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know how you be kicking something like
that.
Yeah,
it's like
foot.
Ow.
Yeah. So I mean, my thing is this: like, you got this platform, right? You I don't want to call nobody out because it's not personal.
Right.
Yeah, nah,
fuck
never
them
personal.
All equally,
yeah,
you know, as a collective. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Fuck all of them as a collective.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, here it is, you have this platform. Now, like, I like what Nick Cannon does. So a lot of times we say what we dislike, we got to start talking about what we like.
I got a personal thing against Nick. So.
All right, yeah, but I like what he do though.
His angles is
reason. Well, I'm gonna say the reason why I like what he do, the Cannon Class thing. That's what I'm talking about.
That's dope.
I'm not talking about the morning show or none of that
stuff. Not even the
talking
morning
about the
show.
Cannon Class.
Yeah, but he said.
Yeah. All right, without the personal thing, but he's had different types of people on there giving different information. I like stuff like that. So he might have a rapper to talk about this. But then you'll have somebody like a Dame Dash who talk about the culture. But when you look around, when you look at who's around him, who from our culture's around him? You're doing a podcast with dude, and no disrespect to him, but you're doing it for his numbers. Because you can't talk about the culture and talk about culture vultures all the time, and you're doing something with a Caucasian dude. Because that don't mean he a culture vulture. But this is what you classify them as, because how is he from our culture? And again,
I guess
what
anybody
is,
who listen to our music, what do y'all think? What do you think, Coco?
Who a culture vulture is? I think a culture vulture would be someone that is directly and deliberately, I guess, infiltrating our culture. I think you can be a contributor and not necessarily be a culture vulture. But it's like just, I guess, providing a negative experience or proliferating like negative messages and deliberately. Like, you know, interviewing some of these people that really should not be interviewed.
All right, I'm about to go all the way there.
If that's the case, then.
I'm going to go all the way there with y'all. First and foremost, I'm somebody who's been doing interviews since 2005, right? That it was looked at as a complete, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, you're a clown for interviewing people. You got a camera in people's face, right? So anybody who, within the last 2 years, step behind this and say, I do interviews, you're a culture vulture to me.
What?
Because you're not a part, listen, you're not a part of this culture that I'm a part of creating. For example, let me clarify this. Many people could step behind here and do this, mm-hmm, because this just might be their thing. But if you a rapper and one day you say, yo, I just got a podcast and I just do a podcast, to me, you are a culture vulture of podcasting, because that's just not your thing.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. The reason why I say that is because a person can be a rapper, but then they could be like a phenomenal painter and we just didn't know it. You know, a person can be a rapper and really have a voice or just have a natural knack for
so
being
so Fat
able
Joe
to speak.
Is not a culture vulture of podcasting.
I've seen Fat Joe interviews that I thought were actually very interesting. The man can really, when he speaks.
I can't speak on it. I've
yeah,
never seen
I don't know that podcast, like, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that podcasting is a culture as such. Like, that's why I'm
it
a
is,
little
though.
Confused at the
because guessing. It became, listen, it became a culture. It became a, yo, when my rap career is not successful, I'm getting a podcast.
I wouldn't say not successful. I just think they just find other lanes to just rape the game. But let me not use that term.
All right,
just,
but
I
look,
mean, just,
rape, culture, yeah, it's all, you listen, man, it's still culture vulturism. It's still, listen, tomorrow, listen, all right, look, when Lupe Fiasco says, kick push, and he's acting like he's a skateboarder, and he never was. You're a culture vulture to skateboarding.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Because skateboarding has his own culture. Did he do any other songs like Kick Push?
No.
Did he really run with the skateboard culture?
I don't know. I can't speak on that.
And then when you see him skateboarding, he couldn't even do an ollie.
But
it was the popularity of skateboarding at that particular time that make him say, yo, I'm about to really, really exploit this. Culture vulture to me is exploitation of something that you have nothing to do with and you don't intend on doing it. You're doing it for a check. That's what a culture vulture is. It's not.
Then that's a lot of people. That's execs right. Included. Like, that don't even matter as far as color.
I mean, there are people that
race.
Have.
No, it has nothing to do with race.
Oh, yeah, then that.
It has nothing to do with race. Race has culture. But
that's most of the industry.
What I was saying, Dame Dash defined culture vulturism as a race thing. He keeps saying from our culture. You know what I'm saying? From our culture. Right? But I don't even want to say dude's name because I don't want to make it personal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but I'm using
I'm
people.
To...
No, but I got to use you for an example because you're a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, athletes.
Right.
Naturally segue into broadcasting.
Yes.
But then they become a broadcaster. They're not on the field anymore. Right. I am a broadcaster. You can't be like Nori had a successful podcast. Joe Budden had. I got more followers than them. I got a following. I'm doing a podcast, but I'm only going to do 7 episodes because then now you clogging lanes.
That's a fact.
And then everybody interviewing you, going to do an interview with you because you're on Tidal and you're on these other companies, but you have no intention on pushing the podcasting culture up. You just extracted
well, that, well,
what
you can. Well, that's why that person will only have 7 episodes.
That's why you're a culture vulture, though.
But you know what sucks about all of this?
But that's why you're a culture vulture.
Yeah, nah, they are. But what sucks about all of this is that people don't care.
That's
like
the,
that's what like you see how we being honest and real. Point, yeah. Like people don't. They just want to hear their favorite artist or their favorite whomever speak about BS. Right? Yeah. Like they don't care.
Yo,
that's what sucks.
And, no, and you know what else too?
They don't
the
care.
The most popular podcasts really have no like valuable content.
Yeah,
it's really people just talking about random shit, and that's what seems to drive the so-called culture of podcasting.
Ignorance sells, man. Nobody cares about.
I take personal interviews. I take interviewing personally because when I see interviews that suck, I'm like, oh God. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
I agree.
And what makes me want to segue into another segue, safe interviews. I see people doing safe interviews, and I don't like it.
I know you don't like that.
I don't like it. You have to go sit before somebody where there's no diagram of what we're going to talk about. You got an album coming out? Let's deal with that. But when I'm talking to you, let me have free reign to pick your brain, because that's all the interview really is picking your brain. And let me ask you questions that I would want to know and that people around me say, and what I've seen on message boards, what I've seen on Twitter and social media. Let me ask you these things. It might be rumor, it might be some facts, and it might be for clarity on certain things that you have said. That's what an interview is. So I see dudes doing interviews before people, and the whole time they smiling and just happy. I'm like, yo, where's the tough questions at? Like, you didn't ask him anything tough?
I also get upset about the safe interview because it seems like once people are driven by more of like the branding and they got a lot of stuff behind them, then the interviews start to just get so soft. Whereas as artists or, you know, whomever you're interviewing, sometimes I get so frustrated. Like you have this person, this icon in front of you, and you're choosing to ask them, you know, a silly fluff question.
Yeah.
So I get really frustrated about that too. Like I cringe.
Like they might be. Are you the type that have the tissue over or under?
Like literally, like, yeah. And it's like, on, this person, man, is, you know.
You got Patti LaBelle in front, right, of you. And that's what you ask Patti LaBelle?
That's what I mean, yes.
Why do we need to know how Patti LaBelle wipes her ass? It does nothing for me.
I think some of that is clout chasing and shock value and getting clips. And, you know, I think the stuff that we would like to know, like the in-depth things, it just, nobody's clicking that.
Yo, they like, used to diss me for in-depth interviews. Yo, what I went through in this to set the precedent for what's going on now, the average people don't know. I went on a Forbes DVD channel to look at, it came up recommended, my Papa Wu interview. Papa Wu revealed that in the interview that I did with him, and DTFU was there actually, that Raekwon and Ghost used to have beef and used to clap at each other until RZA brought them together musically. And I forgot that I did that. So a lot of people were going back to the interview because that's how the Wu-Tang saga started with them beefing, right?
Yeah.
But the only time the world knew they had beef was via this interview. You know, not saying now the world knows because of the show, but he said it in his interview. So when I went back, I left a comment on my footage that I did from the Doggy Diamonds TV channel, not the Forbes, saying, you know, I've been setting trends with interview. Some, I don't even know how to describe this individual, leaves a comment after me and says, what, are you mad because you didn't get this interview first? What? And I'm saying to myself, this is my interview.
They ain't been outside long enough, that's it.
But at one particular time, if I got dissed for interviewing Papa Wu. People like, what are you interviewing him for?
Right.
Some people are ahead of their time. They always going to take the fall. It's just what the game is.
All right, so let's just
say
that.
That's just what it is.
Okay,
like,
good. Let's just say
feel
that.
Feel me? Like, all this, to be honest with you, like, people don't, In this day and time, people don't care about all that shit, man.
Yo, and look,
what's getting likes, what's getting clicks, what's going viral, like
what I would appreciate, because I know I'm the kind of person, like, I always show love to people, or I have nothing to gain from just saying a name, like, or just making a reference or anything like that. So, like, I just, or to lose, I should say, it, and hopefully that person can gain something from it. So I never understood that, but especially when you're talking about those people that are kind of extracting things from people, because they're, you know, it's you may not have, let's say, the viewership that certain people have, but those people that have it are watching you.
Facts.
Yeah, they are watching you. So you know that. And again, it's one of those things, like, they're just kind of like, you know, regurgitating stuff, like when we talked about Kanye earlier.
You know what, too? Let me lighten it up a little bit. I do not want the people to think that I am unhappy in any way.
Yeah.
That I'm angry. But what people don't know, and I try to let people know, some of the things that some of us went through for this game to be where it's at today are unsung heroes of a lot of stuff. And we get salutations in the DM. We get salutations through the text. I could show you some of your favorite rappers, some of your favorite personalities saying, yo, salute, but they will not do it publicly.
Right.
And that's some sucker shit. That to me is the most corniest thing you can ever do, to tell somebody in private how proud you are of them and how you rock with them, but then publicly you act like you don't know them.
That's
just cornball.
That's different.
That's cornball to me, because what do I have to lose to say, yo, I like what, yo, that was dope. Yo, it a lot, if these interviewers and these podcasters keep it real, you can see me in the comments saying, yo, good show, good interview. Because it was dope. Yeah. I'm looking. Why wouldn't I act like, why am I going to be this shadow? That's why I tell you, I'll be blocking people. When you be on some shadow stuff, lurking, you got to go.
No, because there are people that are just like, they'll stay in like your lives, just watching your life, but they don't say anything.
And then next thing you know, here they come with your slang, not sounding right, first of all. You know what I'm saying? But I think we could close on that. But these dudes is culture vultures, though.
Yeah, I guess we can get into the selling your soul.
Yeah, selling your soul. All right, I want to... Me and Ali Vegas did an interview that's almost at 4 million views now. We were talking about some of this, you know, things that take place behind the scenes in the industry for people to be successful. Many people said we were liars and, you know, y'all just saying that because you didn't make it, blah, 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 blah. Then Terry Crews comes out and say he kind of like verifies a lot of stuff that was said months ahead. But to me, I don't want to. What is selling your soul? Because I put up a picture and I let it be known that I record my, you know, my podcast in this building. So some people was like, congratulations. And some people were like, congratulations, but yo, don't sell your soul. And I'm like, huh? What is selling your soul?
I mean, I think what the problem is that people are not defining it accurately, you know, and they're seeing what they view as selling your soul is really people leveling up and becoming more successful. And it's like how you're defining it is by what you think that person must have done to get to that point, maybe. But I don't think that if I saw somebody and they made a move, I'm going to congratulate them, not say in the same sentence, don't sell your soul. I mean, that to me is troubling, especially if you know what that person's about and their background and what they fight for. So, I mean.
Go ahead.
What
is selling your soul?
Selling your soul, I guess, to me would be like.
Kanye. Go ahead.
You know what's funny? Damn, not to go back on Kanye, but to go back on Kanye. And I'm wearing Yeezys, by the way, so I got to keep it a stack. He said maybe like a couple months ago in a tweet, again, as far as like selling his soul to the devil. This is recent. Nobody said anything. But Jesus is king. Now, selling your soul is just doing flagrant acts that is against, I guess, your morals, your principles, your ethics, your values. I guess that would be selling your soul. And or it would be in a more deeper light as far as like what Ali was talking about, as far as rituals and things in which that are done, just practices that are, you know, just blood, you know, certain sacrifices or whatever that's done behind the scenes. I guess that would be the two ways of what people would consider selling your soul.
Okay.
And selling your soul, I guess, And to add to that, it's just simply, it's just blatant compromise and doing something that is counter to what you believe in, but only doing it to get to a certain position. I mean, it's just doing something that you know is even wrong, you know.
So I want to pose this question, right? People say don't sell out, right? Don't sell out. Or they call you a sellout. Who exactly did you sell out in certain instances? Did you sell out the people who come in your comments every day and tell you that they hate your guts? Is that who you sold out? See, there's a difference when you're popular and everybody rock with you and then you turn your back on all the people that supported you, a la Kanye. But when you're from the grassroots and everybody keep telling you, you ain't shit, you a bum, you ain't shit, you ain't Vlad, World Star beat you, this, that, and the third, and then you start leveling up and then they telling you, don't sell out, you don't fuck with me anyway. Like, who am I selling out? Now, selling your soul to me is compromising my integrity as a man for material gain. Mm-hmm. All that I fight for, all that I did, why would anybody say that to me?
Right.
I break down barriers. I took like 4 months off YouTube because I was in a bad deal. And I said, I'd rather just lose money and but then people would say, oh, I got more subscribers than you now, or you don't get that many views, not knowing because I fell out of the algorithm, like I fell off of YouTube. But I did that to fight a battle that I felt that I won for YouTubers and content management systems. Nah, y'all not going to rape me. Y'all not going to take things from me, and I'll fight y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I won that war. So what I fought, and how I could help other people fight to get out of these situations, I took a hit, but all people look at is numbers. So they'll say, oh, you have 154,000 subscribers. This video only has 2,000 views. You ain't shit. You fell off. But that's just not the case because I just explained to you what's going on and what's happening. And there's no such thing as an excuse. So now if I do a video with Madonna tomorrow and I get 6 million views, they could call me a sellout. So do you want the views? Right. Is it about the views? Or is it about what you want me to do? Because anytime a black man or black woman do something that's successful, we start getting called outside of our name because we're successful. But then when we're not successful to what people deem to be success, we're a bum. You ain't shit. Dude, I had somebody say, oh, I know if you got a deal with CBS Intercom, I could get one because you ain't shit. Like, that's I didn't too. Work 13 that's years for this.
Yeah, that's wild.
So again, when people leave comments like, don't sell out, yo, you're talking to a man right now. You're not talking to no little boy. You're not talking to somebody who clout chase. You're not talking to somebody who's into materialism. You're not talking to somebody who drinks, smokes, parties, don't strip club, don't go, I don't do none of that. So what exactly would I be selling out for and selling out to? Because I'm rewarded for my greatness, I could possibly be a sellout?
I think these people probably don't know people with integrity. Like, it could really just be because of the examples around them.
Yo, pussy don't motivate me. It just don't. And I could look right in the camera and say, ladies, what you got between your legs is just not going to do nothing for me. Listen, it's not going to get me out the house. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go get my hair cut because I'm not a little boy anymore. I'm not a young dude where it's like, yo, it's going to be bitches there. Word? Yo, I'm pulling up. Yo, let me go downtown to Jimmy Jazz. We're not doing that no more. Mm-hmm. We're men now. We're grown men with responsibilities. Once your bills hit a certain amount of money every month, you got to leave all that little boy stuff out because now you're a responsible adult. So what would I be selling out? And who would I be selling out? Who? Because I don't even know the way people try to treat me. I don't even know who my supporters is now.
Well, I'm going to keep it true. I feel like, once again, this just goes back to people being ignorant. So all of what you said don't ever got to be explained because you're real. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And it just sucks that we live in a time in 2019 that you have to, you know, break those things down because they just, and they'll never get it, honestly.
Yeah, regardless.
You're not going to win.
Yeah.
In the comments, people are going to say that, like, things that you've made clear, they'll be nah, he's still bitter. He's still on some BS. He, like, I've just learned to just keep it positive, keep it cool, and like act like you don't exist.
This is just good audio, though.
It's great audio. Like, but it's just, I've gotten to the point where I'm just over the ignorance. I'm over having to explain myself
posted a picture in front of the sign. They was like, yo, you look like you get high, or your shirt is too big, you're too skinny. And some dudes be like, yo, I'll knock you out for sure. You too small.
What?
Yeah, like, I'll knock you out. Yo, you small. I'm like, why do you want to fight me? Like, what did I do to make you want to fight me? And I'm not the dude that you want to fight. Like, I don't think y'all get it. Like, I am a different type of dude. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't walk around with that energy.
Yeah.
But why do we want to knock me out, though? Because I posted a picture. So I post one picture. They saying, yo, he definitely looks sick. Like, he might have cancer. Like, they said the worst things about me you can say off a picture. But then the next picture was, oh, you up in Viacom building, don't sell your soul. It's like,
people are just very subjective by nature. And it's like, when certain people do it, they'll tell you not to do it. When other people do it, they don't say anything.
What I've learned
is, forget all them.
Yo, listen. So, nobody else who's on Tidal, nobody who's on Revolt, nobody who's on Spotify, they didn't sell their soul, right? They got it out the mud, right? They took a genre that I created and latched on to it, and they got it out the mud, though, because they deserve it.
I could give you another example. Like, on Instagram, for instance, I posted a picture on Instagram, and somebody, I guess, who's been following me on social media for some years, took it upon himself to DM me, like, yo, like, it seems like you're changing. And I'm like, what's changing? I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, nothing.
I don't know you.
Yeah, like, nothing about this picture is any different than other pictures. Then he's like, yeah, you know, we expected better of you to be. I'm like, dude, you're probably the main one that probably follows every so-called sexy pic or whatever like that, but you're telling me you expected better of me. Like, I'm not supposed to show myself. Like, I don't even say, like, I'm not out here naked on Instagram, and I don't have a responsibility to look how you want me to look. And now you've just created this whole narrative, and like, you're trying to like talk me down out of whatever you think is gonna happen, I guess, selling my soul.
You're not
gonna see me doing that. You're not gonna see me out here on my Instagram selling products, like, you know, that
give me a check now.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't gonna say it because I remember, you know, but I mean, stuff like that. It's like, people think that because you're a woman, there's certain lanes or avenues that you will take, you know, to get to where you need to get. Whereas I could do certain things to make my life a lot easier, but that's not the kind of person that I am. And if you know me, you know that. So that's why I took the conversation a little personal, because I'm just like,
you blocked that nigga?
Yeah, I don't really got blocked. Yeah, I don't. I'm
not
really black people. I just don't care. So I kind of like, just people are invisible.
Because look, I'm a congratulator.
Yes.
You know. Everybody I interviewed, right? Everybody I helped. Everybody who swagger jacked. Me being in this situation right here, not one of them called me and said, congratulations on what you're doing. I had a fellow podcaster, I'm not going to blow him up, but I saw him in the gym. And he was like, you're on CBS now, right? And I'm like, I never even spoke to you before. So that means you're watching. You know it. But you won't say, yo, salute on your situation and what you're doing. I see. We are such in a sucker's game now, where the suckers are just like openly suckers and doing sucker stuff, and the people don't know that they're being suckers. And I'm like, yo, hold up, man. Y'all ain't just see that sucker shit. But when you are the person that exposed the suckers, you get put in a box of angry, bitter, unhappy. But it's like, nah, like, you can't handle me a certain way and expect me to say it's cool, because I'm not going to sit here whining about what somebody did to me 15 years ago and why I'm not successful today. And I think that's what a lot of people's story is, what somebody did something to them, why they didn't achieve something.
Right.
I don't have those stories. Yeah. People have tried to block my blessings. Some people have. But you know what? If I can't go through you, I'm going to go around you. I'm going to go above you. I'm going to go below you. Pause for you simple-minded people. Or I'm just going to bowl you over. Or I'm just going to go away from that. So I don't have the story of, yo, this person did this to me in 1994. I would have had a deal, but I just never going to do that. Like I said, it's a popular rapper right now who owes me money, and I have not told the story.
Right.
And this is a fact, because you was together with me when I handed this nigga cash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's been over a year, and I have not got my money back that he owes me. But I've never said, yo, he owed me this money. I'm not ever going to do that. I'm always going to try to handle it in private. And I'm only saying that now to show the character of some of us that some of us have. So when a person has showed you nothing but character, when I say character, I mean an upright character, not mm-hmm. a character as a clown. Mm-hmm. An upright character and stand up in integrity, you cannot question people with integrity. Yeah. Because I never did nothing strange for a piece of change. And I never will. Not only that, if it's like vaping right now, right? They're saying vaping does more harm than cigarettes in certain instances. Yeah. If I tomorrow come with a vape thing and say, get your vape, that's not selling your soul. That's selling your soul because you know you're about to kill some people.
Okay, so let me ask. This is a perfect example of somebody who I respect. So, you know, Nas always came on some like God body, high, you know, empowerment, you know, just a different level of intellect with his music.
Mm-hmm.
One day I saw Nas promoting Hennessy.
And he first wouldn't do it, yeah.
How do you guys feel as far as that selling your soul now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, negatively or positively, people evolve. You know, I don't, you know, Kanye in some way is evolving, you know, whether or not you look at it that way, but viewpoints can change. You know, I can't expect Nas, you know, with the backpack and the projects to be the same guy that he is now as some sort of venture capitalist. I just don't know. People change. So it can be disappointing.
Some people call him a sellout, though.
Did you hear his last project?
No.
I heard it. He was back on his, like, you know, Egypt, God body mm-hmm. flow. So to me, it was like, if you're going to go left, go all the way left.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to tell me, what's your rabbit on Hennessy in a commercial? And then your album is God Body, We the Kings. And it's like,
but you know what? Now let me, and I get what you're saying, because what you're saying, a lot of people had that sentiment. He wouldn't, I remember it was a EPK of him on MTV or something. He wouldn't even do a beer commercial at one point. And they kind of, Rakim did a Hennessy thing, and a lot of people stoned Rakim, like, you the God. I get,
right.
But that's another problem that we have. We want to keep each other broke.
Yeah.
Right? We want to say, oh, you were supposed to be this. But the minute this dude comes out of nowhere and say, shake that Laffy Taffy, and he got 20 cars and 80 mansions, you're saying how he's great, and I ain't shit because I don't have no money. What am I supposed to do to get money if you don't even support me? And this is what I want to say to the people. I have merch. You see me with it on. You see various different things. If you look under this video right now, it is merch. It's Doggy Diamonds, No Filter hoodies, long sleeve tees, t-shirts. People don't buy your merch. They rarely click your video, but they're worrying about if you're going to sell out. Sell out who? Again, you can only sell out your supporters. If you're not a supporter of mine, I don't owe you anything.
I'm a supporter of Nas, though. I've heard every single Nas album except for the one he did with one of the Marleys.
Okay, now when you look at, let's talk about Nas for a minute. Nas, you can't always stay where you were. You know what I'm saying? And I think with us as a people, and I'm going to say black people, we never give each other room to grow. When we start growing, dudes be like, nah, you changed.
Yeah, but I think it's more so about the message is my angle. Because, like, for example, like, I'm not really a drinker like that. So if I came tomorrow and had a liquor store, you look at me like, yo, bro, like, you don't even, you understand? So that's why I gave the Nas analogy to go with what you said.
I dropped this before. Let me drop this jewel on you. We live in a market. America is a market.
Yeah.
Okay? And if it's a market for it, it's marketable.
It's a fact.
Now, the deal is, I'm going to let you go. The deal is, this is a capitalist society.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right?
I'm fine with that.
We live in New York City, where if you want to go get a pretzel from Habibi down the block, it's like $3 for a pretzel. So how are you supposed to eat this pretzel now? So you just can't eat it because you can't afford it. They got like matches, size apartments for like 3 G's.
Mm-hmm.
So If you're living a certain way or you want to live a certain way, you got to get these checks. You got to get this money. Now, he's no more of a sellout than somebody saying Molly Percocet. Because
says they don't even do it.
Yeah,
that is selling.
Because the average people drink Henny though, so it doesn't matter. Because reason why I'm a hold Nas down on this one is because yeah, he promoted Henny, but he also rhymed about shooting people. He also rhymed about smashing. That what's worse?
That's art though. We know. Come on.
So it's liquor. Was,
liquor is art. Hashtag liquor is art.
because think about it. If he drank Henny. Right? If he's a Henny drinker.
I don't think there's a problem with drinking Henny. I think his narrative, if I'm on some God body, damn it, that's going to get into a whole lot of
you in trouble in the comments.
But no, but my thing, no, this is my thing. If Nas doesn't take the, let's just say it's a $5 million deal. If Nas doesn't take the deal, well, then who does? No,
someone else who's on that type of time.
But why can't he?
So why does Nas still have to live in Queensbridge and drink Henny? Well, my thing is, if you drink Henny,
I don't care that he drinks.
All right, let me finish.
We all drinkers.
If he drink, no, we not all drinkers. I don't drink. If he drinks Henny,
yeah,
why not get a check for drinking Henny?
If you actually do it,
you actually drink. Yeah.
You know why? Because
if I came out right now with a weed strain. You would look at me crazy.
That would be strange. Yeah, if you came weed.
You would look at me crazy.
Or you were promoting a liquor. That,
yeah,
that's
you would
crazy.
Look at me crazy.
Yeah.
So, once again, my thing is, you know, it's about whatever narrative in which individual has. So, if you're telling me I'm God body, we're the kings, we're the queens, and that's always been your narrative, always. I can't respect you fully to then say, it's okay that you sell the babies or, you know, young adults, whatever, liquor. Like, how?
He said that?
I mean, liquor is, you know.
He said to feed the babies.
No, but I'm saying, like.
But I mean.
Or using that jargon.
Ideally.
18-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Ideally, the target audience for that campaign would be 21 and up. So he's speaking to adults who are doing the same thing that he's doing. So I think it's a little bit hard for me to judge him for that campaign because.
Okay, I got to keep it real. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to keep it real. It's like with the conscious community. Mm-hmm. I done been around these guys.
None of them are conscious. You know.
They talk about God body.
We've interviewed some people
kings
here.
And queens. Uh-huh. And I saw them go smoke a cigarette. Now, that's
absolutely
their life.
Absolutely.
Listen, yo, I've been to a lecture at Nicholas Brooklyn. Shout out Nicholas Brooklyn when they were downtown. Now they're owned by Restoration. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nicholas Brooklyn. That's where I get my CMOS from.
Wow.
Where the dude did a lecture, and after the lecture, he walked out and said, "Yo, where the hoes at?" And he was just saying a black woman is God. I bullshit you not. He was just talking about how the black woman is God, and then when he left, he's like, "Yo, where the hoes at? Roll that weed." So, I mean, we always going to have hypocrites. I think
I don't smoke weed, but I don't debate that only because weed is natural from the earth. That
you ain't
part
supposed to inhale it?
Yeah, you're supposed to brew it in a tea or things of that nature. But still, I don't. Liquor is straight poison, and I do drink it. So I'm not. Once again, I'm not
what
knocking.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm not knocking it. But what I am saying
is
that
you just want to be mad.
If you're gonna tell me I'm God, I don't want to see the next commercial on some Henny.
Jesus drank wine though.
That's a whole nother.
But the point I'm making is that
why can't we allow people to be, you know, somewhat dichotomous? Like, I mean, we all have our vices. We are all not, you know, pious people per se. Like, you know, sometimes you just might be on some stupid shit.
I don't want
to.
You know what? It's like, you know what it's like? It's kind of like, I guess, with the whole Diddy thing. Like, I don't know if you ever heard his Money Making Mitch album. Have you heard it?
No, I don't listen
to it. Okay. But on that, here's what's crazy about that. On the album, he was talking about the black man is God. He was on a different type of time. I'm serious. He was on a different type of time.
Yeah, I'm dead.
He didn't even write it.
I know he did it. It was
right,
like close
to that. So if you didn't write, listen, if you didn't write it,
but you're still pumping the narrative, right? So I thought Diddy was on a different type of time, right? Next week, he was speaking about T.D. Jakes, and I'm like, yo, dog, like, what are we doing here?
But you fuck with Kanye though, so I'm confused.
I didn't.
Kanye's T.D. Jakes right now. The rap T.D. Jakes. Can't you see the fake, the rap version of T.D. Jakes?
I'm not going to say I fuck with Kanye.
That's what Jay-Z said about Nas, too. Can't you see that he faked the rap version of T.D. Jake prophesized in CDs and tapes? Yeah.
Listen, man. I'm not going to say Kanye. I just say I got Yeezys. That's it.
I'm going to hold Nas down, though. I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm going to hold Nas down because, first and foremost, you know, the art that he brought forth to us was very, very, it was life-changing. It was very, very instrumental in my upbringing, definitely, in my creativity, and just my thought process, and I thank him for that. There's no way that I could have rewarded him for what he gave me. So if Hennessy gave him the bread for me, cool.
Nah, you know what? I want to end up by saying this. What I respect more with Nas now is that whole venture capitalist movement, mm-hmm. right? And investing and showing us how to do it.
But how would he wouldn't have got that if he didn't take that Henny money? I'm telling you. Because money begets money.
Yeah.
You can't be broke. Somebody got to take that chance.
Yep.
Right? For example, let's look at a 50 Cent. 50 Cent was a dude trying to get his rocks off musically. And he was kind of blackballed in New York City, so he did the Chitlin' Circuit with Master P, and he started grinding and getting to his bread. So when Dr. Dre and Eminem took the chance and he made that bread, he was able to finagle that into other things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even me being here in this situation, you see me do my show, then you see me creating these other shows, and that's how you elevate. That's how you rise. That's how you build your thing. But it has to start with somewhere. And sometimes the drug money, which is nothing worse than selling drugs to your people,
yeah.
The drug money, you was able to take the drug money and turn it into a $1 billion corporation and feed the people or build clinics. So it's like almost like the yin and the yang of everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, you might smack somebody, but he didn't deserve to get smacked at this time, but he might have robbed the old lady yesterday. You ain't know it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like the yin and the yang, the karma situation.
I think about Jay, and Jay's my favorite artist of all time.
And he's full of shit.
I don't know if he's full of shit.
No, he said...
Most of his money is made through liquor. So.
But he said something about y'all taking advances, huh? Me and my people still taking chances. You took an advance from Live Nation.
Yeah.
So how you going to make us feel
people
the way...
People don't know that. Yeah, they partially own
Live
Nation.
Look, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. But they could paint the narratives that we're dumb for doing things because they don't do that. When you do it too.
You're right.
Stop.
Yeah, they did give him a 10-year big check.
Look at this. Four words. Stop. I mean, four letters. Stop. Stop. So I don't take nothing that... First of all, I don't take nothing no rapper say literally. Because there is no gangster rappers.
No.
There's no gangster rappers because they be letting these middle-aged white men take all their publishing, kick them off the label, and have security escort them out the building. And they ain't kill, shoot nobody. And they go on interviews and complain about getting out of their deal and all that stuff. But if I get on this podcast and say somebody's name right now, they will be outside ready to shoot me. Mm-hmm. So they gangster with who they want to be gangster with. But anything taking their generational wealth away and they could pinpoint the person who did it, why you ain't body them? Don't body me because I got an opinion. Mm-hmm. I didn't take nothing from you. But I might have bruised your ego. And your ego to you is worth more than your generational wealth. So right now, if I say such and such is whack, and he's a well-known thug street dude, I got beef. But I don't watch these dudes lose their record deals. I don't watch these dudes get kicked out the whip in many different instances. And ain't nobody dead. But you a gangster, though. So you pick and choose with who you a gangster with. And I don't respect that. Because a gangster's a gangster all around the board. Like, yo, I ain't taking nothing from nobody. And I could give my homie or give this individual. Like, sometimes I give people passes that talk stuff about me. Because I'm like, yo, man, he just trying to come up. Like, if I see him, man, I give him a noogie and a wedgie. And, you know, it is what it is. But I know he trying to come up. Whatever. I ain't paying that no attention. I ignore it. But when it's somebody that's of a stature and they say something about me, oh, nah. Because I'm attack big before I'm going to go small. These dudes want to attack the small, but the people, they stay out of Jay-Z way, they stay out of Puff way, they stay out of people with power way, but somebody who they think is powerless, they want to attack. I don't like people picking and choosing who they want to be real and gangster with. You know what I'm saying? I don't like that because a real person gonna not going to take no disrespect from
anybody.
Nobody.
You'll be consistent.
You know what I'm saying?
The same energy.
I had this little trick-or-treater yesterday, like kind of just pushed past me a little bit. And I'm like, yo, Mexico, I don't know what you doing. I don't know. Like, yo, y'all got to teach this little kid some type of etiquette because you just not going to be bullying past me for candy. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's something that you learn. And that's what I'm saying. It was a little kid and everything, but I'm like, yo, what you doing?
I don't care if you're 7.
Yeah, I was in CVS. This Chinese lady. So I had my bag on. I just felt somebody like kind of bump me. I'm like, turn around like, yo, what the fuck you doing? It was an old Chinese lady. But I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like, you don't, like, we have that much of a language barrier that you don't know that you need to say excuse me, or you could have went around me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna, I don't care if it's a little kid, if it's an elderly person or a middle-aged person, respect is respect. So people be picking and choosing who they let kick them in their ass.
It's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing that I wanted to get into. Black excellence. It's a hashtag. It's a certain demographic of guys who people consider to be black excellence. Because I'm not, I'm not black excellence, though. I had to sell my soul, right? That's what I'm saying. You see how they pick and choose who's black excellence? When I exude black excellence from the gate, and I actually toned it down. Because I used to be, you know, kind of radical and crazy, but I'd be chilling. You know what I'm saying? But I felt like what I was doing was for a cause. And then you watch people use that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the problem I have with that, especially with those kind of hashtags, is there are people who have sort of crafted their images to be driven by these sort of movements.
Ambulance chasers?
Yeah, essentially. Oh, my God, I could name names, and I just don't even want to, like, you know. But, yeah, definitely. So when you talk about black excellence or doing things for black people, they're not doing it from a genuine place. They're doing it for clout.
Yeah, shout out Trife Gangsta. Mm-hmm. A.K.A. Shanduke McFadden, who has an organization called GMAC. And in the city, New York City, all five boroughs, and even around the surrounding states, when there's a shooting, he does something called a shoot and response. And he goes to that community where a murder or shooting just happened and speak to the community about, yo, this should not be happening in your community. So shout out to people who's actually boots on the ground doing the work. And don't get any pub, don't get any press. But the dudes on the Instagram,
they're every, you know,
let me explain something to you. Stop. Because you full of shit. You people be picking and choosing. You cannot have one foot in this and one foot out of that. You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to be this, then this is what you are.
Yeah.
This is what you are. If you're for the upliftment of a community, you can be a straight up and down gang member and believe in uplifting the community, because initially that's what your oath was taken for, to uplift your community. So I respect it. But you can't be a person who's like, oh, we got to do this and we got to do that. But every time we see you in public, you with the oppressors, though. You with the people who we supposed to be fighting and the people who be pushing the narratives.
You're standing on red carpets instead of being on the ground, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, because even dude with the blue vest, where he at?
I don't know.
What's his name? D-Ray?
D-Ray.
Yeah, where he at?
I think he switched it to a green one now.
Uh-oh.
But where is he at?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I've never really heard him speak a day in my life. I don't know.
The point I'm making is that more black people got killed. Like, he really got famous off of fighting for that, right? So the fight is over? Yeah. Or you got famous enough?
Yeah, that's...
You got famous enough and then they just quiet you.
Because it be... No, but I just feel like that became the new finesse. Like, yo, I'm an activist. You know what I'm saying?
That was my problem.
Yo, I'm a finesse it. You know what I'm saying? I'm an activist.
There was a lot of people that got into that, and they weren't doing anything, but they're realizing, like, wait a minute. If I retweet about this particular thing, I'm going to get followers. So then they started, like, performing activism. But it's funny because a lot of these people, if you sort of look at the history of what they were about prior to taking on, you know, the activist hat, they weren't talking about shit. Retweeting ratchet reality shows, that's going back and forth with people, doing nonsense. Like, you know, and I'm not necessarily naming names or, you know, directly making any kind of shot at someone specifically.
D-Ray.
But it's people that was that. That's what they were doing. And I'm like, that's interesting. Like, you know, you just woke up one day. It was like, yo, I'm going to get famous by any means. And I'm going to I couch it or blanket it in activism because I know that's the wave right now. Like,
yeah.
Really what we're doing.
And that and to me, activism start in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be active in your children's life, your spouse life, your family, your mother, your siblings. That's where the activism starts. Because if we can sit in our home and have healthy dialogue with our loved ones, then your loved ones got to go function in society, right? And you also teach them coping mechanism how to deal with other people who don't have these things. So I talk about, like, at-risk children. Every child is at risk. Mm-hmm. you might have come from a two-parent home and everything is all hunky-dory, but when you go to school, you know, Darnell smell like doodle. So now you have to cope with not telling Darnell every day you smell like shit and understand why he does that. But that's something that you're taught how to deal with everything else. You know, so a lot of times, children got it rough, man. And I don't think people talk about children enough in a way that, yo, that teasing is real, man. Because I was a kid who was teased, you know, and not teased enough to where it made me, like, depressed or some sucker. It made me violent.
I was just going
to
say the same thing
myself. I wanted to whoop ass.
Yeah, anybody that knows me.
because it comes from when you're light-skinned, you get teased. When you're dark-skinned, you're going to get, like, children.
I've always wondered, like, our because everybody sort of says, oh, no, children are cruel. You know, it builds, you know, builds our character. I'm like, nah, but I didn't bully anybody. In fact, I would fight for people that got bullied. I'd be like, yo, stand to the side, and I'll knock somebody else
stand
out.
To the side.
For you. You know what I mean? That's how I've always been, you know? So I'm just, like, wondering, like, is it, you know, in their homes? Because my parents didn't make fun of people. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, where this accepting of, like, teasing, you know?
It's a deflection of sometimes. Because I would think about, like, growing up, I was, like, too light for the black people, but then too dark for the white people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, you light-skinned, you got to be mixed. And it's like, well, do you want to see my mother and father? Like, you know, some people are just light. It just is what it is. Or, you know, and the way people come at you, you really have to build coping mechanisms to deal with shit because you can't punch everybody in the face. That's why I'm so good at interneting. So when people say stuff to me, I'll be like, all right, this is a screen name. Remember Twitter used to be the eggs. It's like, yo, this is an egg.
Right.
They're just trying to get a rise out of me. And my dumb ass sometimes feed into it. So I have to know when to be quiet and just when to let it go. But I just think people just really wake up and say, I'm going to fuck with mad people today. That's just my purpose.
Yeah, there's not much on the internet that could bother me. I mean, I don't take it serious in that way. But if you come at me or something in real life, like I can keep a very calm temperament for as long as possible. But then it's like you don't have the right to choose my response. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you feel like, oh, I took it there, I took it too serious, but you did something to violate me and I feel a way and maybe I'm going to violate you in a way that you felt like I went too far. But I didn't start this shit.
Yeah, so if you spit at me and I hit you in the head with a goddamn hatchet, you can't say you could have just spit back.
Right, like no. You can't say no fair.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, yeah, yeah.
I actually got spit on as a kid.
That's crazy.
I'd probably still be in jail.
Spitting, slapping, none of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was in the lunchroom. Everybody was there, and I told him get up, and I, like, finished him.
Mm-hmm. You don't get told to get up.
Nah,
I
was respectful.
If you sitting, you squatting, you doing a curtsy,
nah.
I'm breaking your jaw.
Nah, I was respectful because I knew what I was going to do. So it was literally in front of the whole school, and he had bloody eyes, bloody nose, like he was done. But I knew what I was going to do, so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to give you that. I mean,
yo, I thought Halloween was a kid's thing. Don't you see more adults Halloweening than the children now?
Definitely. The only thing they do with their children is make their children be adults that they want them to be. Like, you know, that's what you see. Yeah, but I mean, I don't see, I saw more, you made that comment earlier.
Yeah.
Seeing more adults celebrating Halloween than
But children. If everybody's so woke and you know the meaning of Halloween, the paganism and all the symbolism behind it, why you got on a damn costume?
Man, I say that for when it's Thanksgiving. I say that for when it's
Don't talk about no Thanksgiving now. Yeah.
I say that for all the holidays, honestly. Like, I don't celebrate
Should
them.
Should we take the holidays from our children, though?
My parents never celebrated Halloween. But
you African.
Right, exactly. But they were indifferent about whether or not I wanted to participate in Halloween activity. They didn't care. They're like, I don't understand this, but whatever.
I think up to a certain age, you should kind of stop. I think, like, if you get to maybe, like, 10.
Like, wean them off. Like,
you're 10, you'd be like, yo, Santa ain't real. You know what I mean?
The reason why I'm saying this is it segues back into cruelty. If you that, yo, I ain't gonna be, I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. I was a troublemaker as a kid because, you know, I had behavior problems of what was going on in my home life. It manifests itself, with my behavior in school. Even though I was a gifted student, academically, I was very, very gifted, always in programs. Y'all could look me up. I was always in special classes and programs for my academic abilities. But my behavior was poor, so it kind of offset how smart I was because I just like, yo, I'm gonna act the ass. And I remember making fun of Jehovah's Witness kids because they didn't pledge allegiance to the flag. Mm. And they just stand there, and I'm like, fuck is you doing? Like, put your hand on your chest. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we don't pledge allegiance to the flag. And I'm like, yo, you stupid. But it's like, no, he was actually smart, even though he did it for religious reasons. Yeah. But I was the one being indoctrinated. And then once I got a little older and I learned, I was like, I pledge allegiance. You know what I'm saying? I was one of them. Like, I'm going to just be stupid with it now. Like, I'm just going to really, really disrupt everything and get kicked out the auditorium. I was one of them. You know what I'm saying? But your children, yeah, if you don't get no Christmas presents, you go to school and you say you ain't get nothing. Yo, you getting teased, bro.
It's cool.
Because kids, right, they're like.
Up to 10, probably.
Listen, kids. The quality of the present don't matter, man. You could get them like 10 army men and wrap them all individually. They'll be like, I got 10 presents.
Yeah.
As long as they unwrap 10 things, they good.
Yeah.
They don't want an Xbox. Because where's the controllers? Where's the games? Where's the headphones? If you just got them an Xbox, they won't say, all right, this is $300. Cool. They want $300 worth of presents spread. You could get them like 80 Nerf guns.
Yeah.
You can get them 10 army men. And it's a quantity. And it's so crazy how even as adults, we consume quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like dudes would be like, yo, I ate 3 bullshit tacos. When you could just get like a burrito and be full. You know what I'm saying? But it's like you had 3 instead of 1 wholesome thing. You eat a quantity of bullshit, you know? And it's like, you think even like with women and relationships, dudes that have 3 side chicks instead of just getting 1 shorty.
Or have the 1 shorty that's solid and have 3 side chicks.
That's a whole different
topic. Nah, because before we go, we about to get up out of here. But what's the side chick thing? What's the purpose of a side chick?
Well, I think I've said this before.
You going to get in trouble for saying all this?
I am who
I
am.
Yeah, let's get him in trouble.
Yeah. I wouldn't use the term side chick. I would just say I'm about honesty. Mm-hmm. So if I'm with you, I'm rocking with you. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not with you, I'm going to do what I want to do. So
you ain't no side chick?
Yeah, because what I always tell dudes is that just be honest. You're going to win regardless. So for me, it's not about, I have a main chick and then side chick. It's not like if I'm on my whatever, I'm on my whatever. So I guess the guys that do side chicks, or the point in time when I was kind of moving like that, I would just say that, and I've said this before, it hasn't come out, but I just don't like seeing the same face too many times. Like 7 days out the week, or like,
damn,
I got to take a break. I just don't want to see the same face. I don't want to hear the same attitude or energy. I got to kind of shift it a little bit. I got to go ghost for a couple months. I come back. I'm funny. I'm like that. I need a break.
Foul.
I need
a break. I thought I was bad. Yeah, this dude is foul.
Nah, like, I'll just go ghost for months and I'll come back and everything's all good. You feel me? Like, I don't know. That's just me. That's just how I function. Like, I can't do the consistent couple.
I think the problem is that, especially with women, the honesty is good. I think what you're saying is accurate. I think that a lot of women, they know how the man moves, and they still, like for instance, like going through people's phones and whatever, you're not going anywhere. So all you've done is discover that this man is, I guess, violating the agreement, but you're still sticking around. So if you're a little more honest about what it is that you're doing, everybody could be happy in that way.
I don't believe in side chicks. I'm a monogamy type person. Reason why, because I just don't have the mental capacity to deal with different personalities. Mm-hmm. And you can get confused. You can be like, so, yo, you want me to boil that corn for you? And they be like,
corn? I'm allergic.
I don't eat corn. I'm allergic to corn. You be like, oh, shit, that's all. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the time, especially when you're working on self, mm-hmm. to try to have all these people and categorize them. And the honesty thing is one thing. Now, if you got a little harem or you got a little couple of chicks you mess with and they all know, that's not side chicks.
That's just what I was saying. Like, numbers. Yeah, that's just you. Just
but I'm
chilling.
Talking about when a dude got a main shorty that everybody know, and he just got some slides.
Nah, I don't. You know what? I never respected dudes that do that because I just feel like you're not being real. Keeping it honest, like you're not being real. Or if you are gonna do it, I'll just say this: they got to be better than the main. They got to be better.
So why they can't be the main?
because it might be other qualities that you. It's a whole shit with that with me. But I feel like they got to be better in the aspect of there's certain things that.
Or to better even you.
Like yeah, like they can provide, but I just probably don't want to be with you though. Like,
yo, I'm gonna keep it real with you. I think side chicks are perfect because they know they're not gonna be the main chick, so they being everything that they think you want. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And then if you make them the main. Then that real chick gonna come
out. Nah, but I've never made a chick that I was dealing with on the side a main ever. She always stayed in that position. Never.
Damn.
You know why? Because I look at it like, no funny, and it sounds very like spooky. But if she know, because a lot of times they'll know, right? And they'll still rock out with you. And it's like, okay, you actually respect,
like you agreed, right? Like,
you
right.
Respect me to do that to you? No. Why would I be with you then? You see what I'm saying? It sucks that that's
why
how
I buy the
it.
Cow when you get the milk for free.
Yeah, yeah, like if you accepting this position and now you want to be the main, why would I? Why?
I also think maybe as the side chicks, they with that arrangement, you're kind of almost bringing your best self in every interaction, as opposed to what you're saying. If you're dealing with somebody more consistently, then you kind of see the ups and the downs. Whereas this person, you're dealing with every couple of months or so. You know, when they come around, it's like, yay, you know.
But my thing is. It's like, I'm not going to be in a committed relationship with somebody and then have these women on the side that I just want to talk to and deal with. I just don't. Fuck y'all.
I would not. I mean, I guess it's different for women. But for me, I would not want to hurt anybody that, you know. I would just. I'm not into.
I'm over hurt.
Yeah,
hurt don't matter.
Yeah, people still got feelings.
So yeah, people don't even really have any feelings.
No, but it's like we're in a time now too where people are like championing the idea of being side chicks, side niggas, and like they don't want anything at all. I'm like, yo, like, what do you want out of your life?
How
like,
long you been single though? You talking a lot of shit.
Oh me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm the most single person in the world.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You talking all this
shit?
How
long you been single? Probably not longer than me.
She's been single. Is it a since decade? I knew her.
I've always been single.
She's been single since I knew her.
But I met a guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we know what that means. And he meet a guy.
Well, I got to give him credit for that.
Because I don't talk to nobody. But yeah. I just met somebody and he's cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
But, okay. but you know what? I think it's some people that's in relationships that still think they're single though.
Because
when you have a, it's like this living a lie, you can't be honest with a side chick, because that means you have to be honest with your main chick too, and you're not gonna be honest with your main chick, so there is no honesty.
I have been though.
You told your main chick I got a chick on the side.
Nah, what happened was,
all right, so
nah, I'm gonna tell you what happened.
Wasn't it admitting the cheating?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like somebody told her like, yo, he's dealing with so and so.
It was a dude.
So nah, it was not. Oh. That's a different story.
I say that's a dirty mackin'.
Nah, that's happened a lot of times to me. But long story short, what ended up happening was she asked me about it. I'm like, yeah. So what are you gonna do? Like I asked, what's up? Because at that point, I'm not gonna lie.
No.
But she stayed. Like she still rocked out. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't tell, but when she found out, I was like, all right, like, yeah, I do have a main joint. What's up? Like, what we doing here? Mm-hmm. She still stayed. So, you know, it's happened.
But it's a difference when you don't live with somebody or you have children together and y'all committed. Listen, I'm going to say this again. Anything before I was 27 don't count. So, if I dated you before 27,
well, here's my
rule. All expunged from my record.
Well, my rule is I don't feel like you're in a real relationship until you're at least 2 years in. Relationship don't start maybe 3 to 4 years in. Because the first 18 months, like, you're going to go through that quick. It ain't. I feel like once you get into 2-3 years is when that's when the relationship starts in my eyes. And then when you live with that person is a whole nother level.
Yo, it's a lot of side niggas too.
But niggas is fine with that though.
Nah, some dudes is not fine with being side dudes.
Niggas is fine with that.
So you think with some guys it's as long as they pipe that it's cool?
Yeah, because at the end of the day it's like, you know.
But some of these dudes don't even get the pipe. They are professional. Yo, women. Yo, if you look at how women classify us, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You got the fool guy.
No,
you got the ride guy. You got the he gonna pay my rent. He got the. You know who get the box?
He gonna pay for my vacation.
But you know who get the box? The dude with the black fingers, the black lips, and smoke the Newport down. That's who actually get the smash.
But I've seen men literally get abused in that way. Yeah, where it's just like, wow, like you're just waiting, just hoping that one day she's going to finally say that she wants something to do with you. And it's like, it, like you said, it's the guy that, you know, will give you rides all day or will send you money or whatever.
He still wins to me, though. I don't care how long.
If he don't smash?
No, I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
If the goal is completed, even if he waited a year, 2 years, 3 years, if he waited and you gave in, he won to me. Like, I don't.
You can't be 60 because, racks in the hole and then you finally get some
box. Yeah, because it's like. No. You know, this person is deliberately disrespecting you and they know what they're doing. They're just waiting it out, I guess, for whatever. And then it's like, if she finally's like, all right, I ain't got nothing better to do. That's not a win to me. That's like you've been used.
Anyway, it's, to me, and we need a whole show on that. To me, we could close on this note. Box is not the consolation prize anyway. Though.
No, that's a fact.
That does that. Listen, I tell you,
I say that all the time. Though pussy is not a present.
Yeah, like listen, man, that's for you. You know what I'm saying? That's for you. It's yours. It doesn't belong to me. It was somebody before me, and it'll be somebody after me. It could be somebody during me. It's just my turn. You know what I'm saying? Seriously.
What a PSA.
Know? Yeah, it just is what it is. So with that, I'm Doggy Diamonds. Coco was here. Eternal Moji was here. Give them your social media really quick.
Social media is Coco Puff, at KOKUPUFF, and that's on all platforms.
Yeah. And give them yours.
Eternal _ Mojo.
And as you know, I am Doggy Diamonds on everything. DoggieDiamonds on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, every social media. The YouTube is Doggy Diamonds TV. The audio podcast is on radio.com. You can download the free app, then search for Doggy Diamonds TV, hear it, or you can also get it on iTunes. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it on Stitcher. You can get it all over where streaming podcasts are, except for Tidal. Anyway, so you could get it there. Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. And you can see these clips as well as other clips that I have on youtube.com/DoggyDiamondsTV. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell. I'm out of here. Until next time. All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this.